It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And as we go to air today, the United States of America is out at the World Cup, and so we can all stop pretending to be interested in soccer. So that's one good thing. The little bit of good news we have going into the week. Other than that, it's fairly disturbing. So in fact, I want to open up with the collaborators file. The collaborators. Where Apple turned off AirDrop. Well, here's what they did. They launched an update to the AirDrop app in China only. And the update restricted usage to just 10 minutes. For those of you who have not gone and told your mom you're gay and you use Apple products, if you haven't been through that yet, AirDrop is a Bluetooth app that allows you to exchange files between computers locally. And it's not monitored by the government. In China, there's what's called the Great Firewall of China. So AirDrop had been being used by protesters in the anti-lockdown, anti-communist protests that have been going on in China now for weeks, months now. And so the Chinese Communist Party went to Apple and said, hey, we need you to stop this. And Apple did it because they're collaborators. They should be arrested and put on trial for crimes against humanity. And some of the executives at Apple should be executed for this if they're convicted. They rolled out the new feature in China only. This is unprecedented collaboration by Americans. This is worse than the Ford Motor Company making cars for the Nazis before World War II, or before America was involved in World War II. This is on that level, but even worse. Just shocking and astonishing that an American corporation could be allowed to do this with no consequence. It kind of makes you wonder who's in charge in America. Who's exactly running the place anymore? Meanwhile, here's some news that could be good. Even better than the soccer news. The Attorney General of Iran, Jafar Montazeri, said rather nonchalantly at a press conference that the morality police have been abolished. The morality police in Iran have been abolished. This is the police force who killed the 22-year-old woman that's led to the latest round of protests against the criminal gang of rapists and child molesters running Iran. And he just said, the morality police, they've been abolished. And when I read this, I thought to myself, could this be a Berlin Wall moment? If you remember back that far when the Berlin Wall came down, it all started when a bureaucrat was asked a question about whether or not a gate was going to be open and people were going to be allowed to cross into West Berlin. And the bureaucrat shuffled through some papers and rather nonchalantly said, oh, yes, I believe that gate will be opened. And then the floodgates opened and people poured through. And 3 days later, the wall was being torn down. And the Soviet Union pretty much collapsed at that point from one bureaucrat shuffling through some papers saying, Yeah. And so anyway, we hope that this could be the beginning of the collapse of the criminal gang of rapists and child molesters who took over Iran 40 years ago, that this could be the beginning of the end of them. There is one significant difference, though. Back then, there was an opposing side, represented by America and the West. Back then, there was someone for the people who were enslaved. There was someone for them, a place for them to run to. But now, there doesn't appear to be a side opposing tyranny. Whether it's in Iran or in China or anywhere else or in Ukraine or in Russia. Well, I guess they opposed the Russians, but only until Putin's dead. Then the criminal gang of criminally insane sex perverts who somehow seize the world, they'll install their guy in Russia, and then they'll be friendly with Russia again. For some reason, they have a serious problem with Putin. Or they're either trying to hide evidence, or it's just like with Donald Trump. They just can't stand any man who reminds them that masculinity exists. It just freaks them out. They've got to see that man destroyed. Even if he's a liberal like them, like Putin and Trump, they're liberals just like well, maybe not just like. They're not criminally insane sex perverts. They're just old-fashioned liberal leftists, which apparently that's not enough anymore. All right. Now, what else? Okay, so soccer's over. We don't have to address that anymore. That's good. Speaking of Russia, an update on a story that I've been covering for, I think, 15 years. The Edward Snowden saga, who I alleged when the story first broke that Edward Snowden was a spy for the Russians. That's what, and that he should be arrested, put on trial, and if convicted, he should be put to death. I've been saying that since whenever Edward Snowden became famous for stealing all those secret files and giving them to the Russians and to WikiLeaks and to everybody else. I do not hold Edward Snowden out as any kind of hero at all. No. Well, now Edward Snowden has, in fact, sworn allegiance to Russia and has been granted a Russian passport by the Russians because he was working for the Russians. He's been living in Russia. And by the way, this means that Edward Snowden can no longer be extradited to a foreign state, because he's now protected by the full faith and credit of the Federation of Russia and Vladimir Putin, who I assume he was on Putin's payroll back then. If I'm not mistaken, the left has held Edward Snowden out to be some sort of hero, at least up until the criminally insane gang of sex perverts seized power in 2020. Edward Snowden may be on the outs with them now. I'm not sure. The story, as reported in The Hill, closes with the statement that Edward Snowden lives in Moscow with his wife and two children. That's right. A wife and two children. Edward Snowden, he's not a criminally insane sex pervert either. He's just a good old-fashioned spy for the Russians. That's all. No, yeah, he doesn't molest kids or trade in child porn. So maybe he's on the outs with the left now, the new left. Maybe he's no longer their hero. But even so, he will not be my hero, because I'm old fashioned like that. You can't spy for the Russians and be a hero at the same time. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way, at least not in my economy. All right. Now, Speaking of international intrigue, listen to this. This is how preposterously foolish the people leading our country have become. The bureaucrats who were in office when the criminally insane gang of sex perverts seized power in 2020, they're still there. And they were well on their way to destroying the country before the sex perverts took over. And they're still doing it. Listen to this. Elvin Hunter Bjorn Williams is a 21-year-old American man from the Seattle area. He was arrested back in 2021, charged with planning on engaging in terrorist acts and charged with providing material support to ISIS. ISIS, by the way, an officially designated foreign terrorist organization by the United States government, at least before 2020, before the big flip. Well, U.S. District Judge up there in the Seattle area has sentenced the wannabe terrorist to 4 years in prison. The prosecution had asked for 15 years in prison for the guy who wanted to join ISIS, and he was actually getting on a plane to fly to Egypt to join ISIS. And so the prosecution wanted to give him 15 years. The judge ends up only giving him 4 years. And the judge cited the terrorist's history of mental health difficulties as reason for his leniency. And so I just want to point out, in case you missed what I just read, both the prosecution and the judge didn't understand that if someone wants to join ISIS and they're convicted of it, he must be put to death. That they don't under neither side understood that. Instead, both sides agreed that what should happen is he should go to prison where he could get hardened and more radicalized. Maybe he could even write a book. Maybe write a book while he's in prison, hanging out with other Islamic fundamentalist potential terrorists there in the prison. And maybe after he wrote his book, he can come out and he could start World War III. Or maybe it'll be World War IV by now, by then. But he could start, maybe, both sides. So terrorists and anyone who wants to join them or support them or provide material support to them, they must be put to death. Not they should be put to death, they must be put to death. You don't put them in prison where they can sharpen their scimitar, their psychological scimitar. But no one in America understands that. And this judge was installed before the big flip out and the hysterical and the sex perverts to seize the power and to seize the world. So things were already on a fairly downward spiral by then. And speaking of all that, let's get this back to Sam Bankman-Fried. I have an email from a listener in the Alaska Bureau. He says, I got a correction for you, Doug. It's not a big deal. But I've heard a lot of people saying that the amount of money that FTX and Sammy Bankman-Fried donated to Democrats and other Democrats addressed as Republicans is much more than first reported. At least $32 million. I've heard as much as $40 million. It's a lot more than the $300,000 that you talked about on your previous program. And now that is true. That is true. He says, when it's my turn to be president, they're going to have to pay a lot. They're going to have to pay me a lot more. He won't do it for $32 million. The Alaska Bureau for the Weekly Worldview. No, no, no. Now, I wrote back. I said, you are correct, sir. That sounds more like it. These D.C. prostitutes ain't cheap. They're lawyers. but I do want to, I don't want to correct my Alaska Bureau correction. But the $300,000 that I talked about was actually given to the regulators of the crypto exchange. That's he bought them off for a mere $300,000. The other $40 million or billion or however much he spread around during the most recent election cycle, that was to buy off and bribe and just generally and to destroy the world, because Sammy Bankman-Fried is a drug-addled parasite and a red diaper baby and all of that. So that's what he was up to with the $40 million. But I do stand corrected that these lawyers are more expensive than a mere $300,000. That's just a few regulators you can buy with some ashtray money, $300,000. But it takes tens of millions of dollars to get any sustained staying power in efforts to destroy civilization. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Yes, indeed. And we go now from, where were we? We were in Seattle with the ISIS terrorists who should be put to... Oh, no, we were with Sammy Bankman-Fried. And it's a different type of crypto terrorism of sorts. Democrat donors. Terrorism Democrat donor style. Democrat stoner style. All right. Meanwhile, we go back down to Brazil, where you may not know it if you're not wired into the alternative media. But WorldNet Daily reports that every city in Brazil is filled with protesters screaming from the rooftops about election fraud. This is from the Death to Democracy file, where for over a month now, millions of Brazilians have taken to the streets throughout the nation in what reporters at WorldNet Daily describe as quite possibly the largest pro-democracy protest in human history. That's right. Since the communist criminal Lula stole the fake election down there in Brazil, there have been millions and millions and millions of Bolsonaro supporters in the streets, and there have been no Lula supporters in the streets because, well, there really aren't many Lula supporters. They were mostly fake, electronically generated. Brazil's electoral court says the certification will take place on December 12th, which is coming right up. And they say that Lula will be inaugurated on January 1st. I'm going to predict right now that neither one of those events are going to occur. That the military is going to coup Lula out and possibly even arrest him. So I say a prediction. It's really a hope. I just hope. Because if Lula's installed, then the criminally insane gang controls the entire world. Because you would have thought that in Brazil, that there was the one chance to hold the line against Klaus Schwab and George Soros and whoever else is pulling the strings on the... Whoever else is supplying the drugs and the money to the sex perverts. You would have hoped that they could hold the line in Brazil. If they cannot, then we are truly headed into a dark, dark period. And as if on cue, the next story in my pile here is from the murder-suicide file, where the government of the Netherlands, which we do want to thank the Netherlands for knocking the U.S. out of the soccer match, or what do they call it? The soccer, I think it's a tournament there. I'm not that familiar, so I don't even pretend to be interested. So we do want to thank the Netherlands for that, but that's where it ends. Because the Dutch government is planning to shut down, well, here, they will conduct compulsory purchases of farmers accused of being large nitrogen emitters. Emitters now. That's the new thing. It's not just if you're not wearing a mask indoors that you're just unclean, or if you don't have the app on your phone, you're unclean. Now, if you're an emitter, you're unclean. And the government of the Netherlands is accusing farmers of being emitters. And so they're going to do what they call a compulsory purchase, a one-time offer to buy their farm. Wink, wink, nod, nod. We're going to buy your farm from you. This was announced by the nitrogen minister. So just stop right there. Wait a second. You have a nitrogen minister? That's right, we do. Her name is Christiane. Christiane is the nitrogen minister. She's going to buy the farmers' farms. She's not going to buy the farm, unfortunately. She's going to live. Farmers, she says, will be offered a deal well over the value of their farm. And then she warns them that there will be no better offer coming, so you better take this one. Yeah. Yeah, despite limited land and a rainy climate, agricultural innovations in Holland have enabled the Netherlands to become a major exporter of agricultural food technology. So the farmers in Holland have figured out ways to farm that have advanced farming technology far beyond what our wildest dreams. And their reward for all that is that they're being labeled unclean emitters. And they're going to be shut down. About a third of the farms. I'm sorry, not a third. 3,000 farms in this first round. We'll see. This is all an effort to bring the Netherlands in line with Europe's ESG, environment, sustainability, and governance. Is that what it is? I have to figure out a new, I have to figure out a smart aleck retort to ESG. In fact, I'll put that out there to the audience. Please send me your acronym or the your words related to the acronym for ESG. All right, G would be gay for sure. That's anyway. So here's the thing, folks. The government has the authority to purchase property in compulsory fashion. Yes. The government has authority that we call eminent domain. So if the government decides there has to be a dam here or a road here or a bridge there, the government can force private citizens to sell them the land. The government has that right. And the government should pay, I would say, somewhere between 3 and 10 times the value, depending on the circumstances of the person. I'm not arguing with the government's authority to do something like this. But when those doing so are the high priests of a death cult hell-bent on killing themselves and as many other people as possible, that's when things like this become problematic. It's when the levers of power have been seized by suicidal idiot children, drug-addled sex perverts. That's when we have a problem, and that's what's happened. And the Daily Caller report here says that Americans should be vigilant against such things. While we allow our governing officials to assert that there's some sort of question about what male and female means, the Daily Caller says we need to be worried about ESG. So ESG and the suicide, the murder-suicide associated with ESG goals, are a byproduct of the insanity that we've not just been tolerating it. We've been institutionalizing madness for my entire adult life. We've been institutionalizing madness, encouraging people to accept the idea that there is no God, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no male, there is no female. Pretty soon there is no living. There is no life. So that's what we need to be vigilant about. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, to remind all of you that there is a God, there is a right, there is a wrong, that black is black and white is white, that male is male and female is female. And if you're not sure who to look to for guidance, please feel free to look toward us, because we're looking toward Jesus Christ and the creator of the universe. So we're here to help. Meanwhile, we go to the bad religion file, where over in England, John Donne was arrested and charged with violating the Public Order Act when he is accused by the government of engaging in threatening, abusive, and insulting speech. What did he do? He told a lesbian couple that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said that, that's in quotation marks, because he actually said that. And that's an actual quote citing the Bible. Well, and so for that, of course, he's going to have to be prosecuted, because you can't do that in public. You can't quote the Bible in front of lesbians in public. It's traumatic. It's threatening. It's abusive. The prosecutor for England and Wales wrote, let's see what he wrote. He wrote the following to the defense attorneys. This is a prosecutor serving the crown of England. He says the Bible contains material recognizing slavery in Exodus, the death sentence, or Exodus and Leviticus, and cannibalism. Deuteronomy. Cannibalism, I say. And passages such as these are no longer appropriate in modern society. And would be deemed offensive if stated in public as they were by one Mr. Dunn. Hence the prosecution. Okay, so, first of all, the material that the prosecutor, this guy's a lawyer, this is a college-educated person, and doesn't know the Bible, has never read the Bible, probably only first heard about this when he had to prosecute this case, and then he opened up a Bible for the first time in his life. In fact, he probably had to travel outside of England to find a Bible. But once he found one, he immediately misquoted Exodus and Deuteronomy. So the only thing he got right here was the death sentence. That's an accurate quote. Exodus 35:2, Leviticus 24:16. Great job, old chap. Good work. You've uncovered the hidden biblical secret texts advocating for the death penalty. So, but the cannibalism and the slavery are just laughable misunderstandings of a man who perhaps can barely read. The supposed Deuteronomy on cannibalism is just not even close. I mean, it's basically God warning people who rebel against him that their bodies are going to be eaten by the birds of the air. That's a paraphrase, but I mean, I want to try to be clear. And then the reference to slavery. So what the genius here, the prosecutor, who's a lawyer and went to college, he's so culturally illiterate as to not understand that in the ancient world, contract laborers were referred to as slaves. And the passage that the gentleman here refers to is not about chattel slavery. It's about a hired servant and how long they can serve. And it's also very symbolistic of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It even mentions that the slave will be pierced. Anyway, it's so deep. It's so deep. And culturally significant, historically significant. It's part of the fabric of humanity, the verse that he quotes here in Exodus 21. It's so much a part of everything real and important in the world that there's no way a prosecutor educated in England could possibly understand anything about it. It's too much for him. And so he's naturally just repulsed by it and finds it threatening because just reading it, he realizes he's an idiot, number one. And number two, he starts to think that maybe there's a power and an authority that's higher than his own, and that scares him. It's threatening, it's offensive, it's abusive, it's insulting, I'm terrified, just make it stop, make it stop. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. It's kind of hard to come back from that one. We're sorry. We feel sorry for the prosecutor there over in England. And we just want to let him know that we're here to help. We want to help him learn how to cope with the fact that there is a God and that his word is appropriate. In fact, it's highly necessary if you don't want your civilization to fall into the hands of the madmen, which it apparently it has. So anyway, John Donne has been a regular street preacher there in England for many, many years, and has only recently become a criminal because the government in England has slipped into criminal insanity. And when the government is criminally insane, the righteous become outlawed. Yeah, all of that. And that's where we are. The government thinks that the Bible contains material that's inappropriate in modern society, which means modern society is teetering on the brink of hellfire and damnation, okay? In more ways than one. And as evidence of that, Hillary Clinton was given an interview on public television recently. That's right. Evidence of the end of civilization, Hillary Clinton appeared with Christiane Amanpour on PBS. That's right. And they were not consumed by fire and sucked down into hell, which shows that God is merciful. Christiane Amanpour was interviewing Hillary Clinton in regards to her upcoming Presidential Center's Summit on the Status of Women's Rights, which, ironically enough, Bill Clinton will be appearing at. To discuss the status of women's this and that and rights and other things. Christiane asked Hillary her thoughts on the unfinished business of women's rights. Christiane Amanpour has that artificial European, fake European accent that nobody's quite sure where it comes from. Right? You can't tell if she's French or English, or maybe she's from Belgium or Switzerland or whatever. She's actually like from Cleveland or something. She pawns herself off as some international intellectual whatever. Like Barack Obama. You can't tell if he's from Alabama or Chicago or Hawaii or Indonesia or Iraq or Iran or wherever he's from. Did you hear him slip into the southern accent giving the speech down there in Alabama? No, it was Georgia. I'm sorry, it's Georgia. I didn't mean to slip into an Alabama drawl. I meant a Georgia drawl. Because, you know, Barack can do both, depending on where he is. That's right. He was pitching the next senator from the state of Georgia. There's a prediction we'll make. Raphael Warnock will win that election. Why? Because it's fake. It's all rigged. Yeah, Georgia's got it wired from all five sides. There's no way a Republican's going to get elected in Georgia. The only way Herschel Walker could be elected in Georgia is if Raphael Warnock drops dead of a heart attack, which could happen. That's happening an awful lot lately. Who was the latest one? The latest one was some 50-year-old health fitness guru. Just dropped dead. Yeah, it happens all the time. It does happen all the time lately, oddly enough. So unless Raphael Warnock, I'm sure he's fully vaxxed and fully boosted, so he could drop dead. Unless he drops dead, Herschel Walker can never. In fact, even if he drops dead, he'll win the election, and the Democrats will install someone. Now this brings me back to Hillary Clinton from the dark irony file. Dark irony. Yeah, that's... That refers to the gender of Christiane Amanpour. She's like the original one who made people start wondering if there might not be a difference between men and women. That can be directly traced to Christiane Amanpour. So Christiane asks Hillary her thoughts on the unfinished business of women's rights. And Hillary immediately said, are you making fun of my husband talking about unfinished business with women? Is that a reference? And then she realized, no, this is Christiane Amanpour. She's friendly. She would never say anything like that about Bill Clinton and unfinished business with women. No. So Hillary answered regarding women's rights. Women's rights, of course, being in quotation marks. Hillary answered, we are in a period of time where there is a lot of pushback. And much of the progress that has been, I think, taken for granted by too many people is under attack. Do you have any idea what I just said? No, because my cadence is so annoying and grating and grinding that you can't actually listen to the words because you're too busy pondering killing yourself. You're thinking maybe if I die right now, I can stop listening to this witch. I'm sorry. I'll try to do that. Hillary said, we're in a period of time where there's a lot of pushback, and much of the progress that has been, I think, taken for granted by too many people is under attack. You know, even when I read it normally, I can't understand what she actually said. But I think she's saying she wants to get an abortion as soon as possible. And she wants everyone else to have an abortion now. Immediately, if not sooner, abortions for everyone all the time. I think that's what she's saying. She finishes her response to Christian with, yes, under attack, literally under attack. And by literally, she means literally, like in places like Iran or Afghanistan or Ukraine, or under attack in a country like our own. When it comes to women's health care and bodily autonomy. So she lumps America in with Iran, Afghanistan, and Ukraine. In fact, she says, you know, in places like Iran or Afghanistan or Ukraine, where rape is a tactic of war. Or attacks in like our country where, you know, rape is it's not even used for war. It's just done in hotel rooms by leading Democrat politicians during governor campaigns. Like, you know, just for fun is how rape is used by Democrats in America. Like, you know, Democrats like my husband, Bill, who raped that campaign worker during the gubernatorial campaign. That wasn't a tactic of war. That was rape just for entertainment. Oh, wait, Hillary didn't say all that. I made a lot of that up. Well, I didn't make up the part about Bill Clinton raping Juanita Broderick. That's actually a fact. That part I didn't make up. The part about Hillary actually talking about it, that I made up. Because she wouldn't refer. She only talks about rape as a tactic of war in Afghanistan, Ukraine, and a country like our own. That's where she... So basically, Hillary Clinton is comparing anyone who's against abortion to people who use rape as a tactic of war. So she's comparing. In fact, the headline from WorldNet Daily, well, I'll link to that. The headline says, Hillary compares pro-lifers to Iran, Taliban, Russian rapists. Which is, the thing about Hillary Clinton is she knows exactly who her enemies are. And she takes the opposition to butchering and murdering children as seriously as we take our opposition to rapists. Hillary Clinton knows the war she's in. She knows what side she's on. She knows she's going straight to hell with jet rockets. She knows she's going to burn in hell for all of eternity. She knows whose side she's on, and she's not afraid to equate her enemies with the worst of the worst of the worst. Meanwhile, on our side, we're expected to somehow have some sympathy for Hillary Clinton. And I have no sympathy for her. I have sympathy for some of the people she misleads, but I have no more room for sympathy for Hillary Clinton. She's my enemy. She's worse than a rapist. In fact, you know how I know she's worse than a rapist? She has facilitated and covered up the rape of actual women. So Hillary Clinton is worse than a rapist. She should be arrested. She should be put on trial. And if she is convicted, she should be sentenced to death. And then at that point, I might be willing to have some sympathy for her. I'd be willing to give her a Bible and 3 days to think about it. That's the extent of the sympathy I'm willing to extend to Hillary Clinton. And that's about it. Otherwise, I take her as seriously as I take Iran and the Taliban and Russian rapists. She's at that level. And the reason she holds me at that level is because we are enemies, actually, for real. We're not millennials who can't even figure out if we're mad at each other. We know we hate each other. All right. So we come from Hillary and Christian, as distasteful as all that was. That brings us to the end of the world file for something that's even more shocking, if you can imagine that. But there is something even more shocking and disturbing. And it lands this week in our end of the world file, and it comes to us via the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, I have been loosely affiliated with medical practice for about 25 years. I've hung out with a lot of doctors, a lot of nurses. I participated in a clinical trial where I was responsible for gathering data from doctors and nurses and patients. And I've been in a cadaver lab. I've been in an operating room during an actual operation. So I've been hanging around with medical professionals for about 25 years. And at earlier in my career, I had some respect for some of them because they seemed to have it together to some degree. Now, as far as I can tell, out of all the doctors and nurses I've hung out with for the past 25 years, only two have not slipped into madness. And one of them I haven't even confirmed yet. I'm just assuming he hasn't. I hope it. I hope not. But only one has not slipped into utter madness and hysteria. And it was very shocking to me to realize that the medical profession was such a thin veneer of intelligence and rationality. I didn't realize it could crack up that fast, that widely dispersed amongst everybody. I didn't expect that. I was somewhat shocked. And I thought that the New England Journal of Medicine was a bastion of rational, reasonable thought. Well, I've been disproven on all levels now. And I realize that I'm one of the few people who's sane. And I look around, and it's scary to realize that almost everyone else is insane, except me and a small group of people. So most of them live at my house. Okay, but I'm sure we all feel that way, right? The whole rest of the world's insane. We're the only normal people. Anyway, end of the world file. The New England Journal of Medicine has published an article called Protecting Transgender Health and Challenging Science Denialism in Policy. The paper is a discussion regarding the treatment of transgender and transgender expansive people. They call them TGE people. The treatment of transgender and transgender expansive people in the New England Journal of Medicine. The authors of the paper include no diagnostic criteria for this disease, TGE. Oh, In fact, the reporter at AmericanGreatness.com, mgreatness.com, he says the authors of this article would likely deny that it is a disease, although they advocate for its treatment with potent drugs and surgery. So here's a disease that doesn't exist, that has no diagnostic criteria, that is being advocated by doctors that it be treated with drugs and surgery. So in the past, before the big flip out, that would have been called malpractice. You can't treat diseases that don't exist with actual drugs and actual surgical procedures. But now, the New England Journal of Medicine endorses it, which is madness. And it should make everyone out there in the audience who has maybe a high school degree, maybe you dropped out of high school before you even got your diploma, you might be smarter than the editors of the New England Journal of Medicine and medical doctors and PhDs who write papers that appear in the New England Journal of Medicine. If you made it past fifth grade, you might be smarter than they are. And you definitely might have it more together than them. You're likely more rational than they are and more capable of rational, meaningful thought than the New England Journal of Medicine. And that's frightening for the future of Western civilization. Because there should be smarter people that we can look to and count on in things like medicine. There should be, but there no longer are. And this is evidence of it. And this is the end of medicine. Not only is this the end of medicine, this is a descent into madness led by the most intelligent and the most educated among us. It's reminiscent of the rise of a culture that has occurred in the past, most recently in Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, the educated, intellectual, cultural class led the descent into dark ages, superstition, and madness that swept the world into the most destructive war in human history. And it's happening again right in front of our eyes. But this time, without the poverty and the discontent of a global depression and the treaty at Versailles that drove Germany into... There's no excuse this time for what's happening right in front of our faces. There's no excuse other than just utter selfishness and pride this time. And that's why I'm seriously concerned that the catastrophe that awaits us on the other side of this particular descent into madness could make World War II look like a dress rehearsal for a true thousand years of darkness. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. And ladies and gentlemen, we are on the other side of that break, but not yet into the thousand years of darkness, and we hope to provide some sort of arrow-breaking mechanism or something. We're doing the best we can, and Franklin Graham is not helping. We appreciate his efforts, but they're not really... Anyway, from the Sad Religion File, Franklin Graham is warning us that the Respect for Marriage Act does not provide protection to those who believe marriage is between a man and a woman. He's warning us about that. So, Franklin, what you need to be doing is standing atop the tallest building in the country and warning us that the Respect for Marriage Act is an assault on America, and it's an abomination. It's not that it's not protecting us. It's a direct assault upon us and upon God and upon America. And it needs to be treated as that. And if America's so-called premier Christian voice cannot invoke and pronounce a religious judgment against this demonic, maniacal assault on God and everything that's right and good, who will, Frank? Who will, if not you? Well, I'll tell you who, Frank. The remnant. The us. Those of us who are still sane enough to realize that when the government wants to codify the idea that sexual deviants can parade around and act as if they're married... Well, Frank, some of us are not willing to just look at it as political. Some of us are willing to stand up and say this is an ungodly, demonic attack that must be repulsed. And that you can't pass a law like that. Not in America. And if you can, then this isn't America anymore. And we need something new. And it's not going to be... It's not going to be founded or envisioned or administered by the likes of Franklin Graham, because Franklin Graham doesn't even recognize what's going on anymore. There can be no protection for religious liberty from people who hate God and are hell-bent on destroying anyone who respects God and believes in God. This is an enemy assault that's going to lead to war, bloodshed, death, and the end of civilization, Frank. It's far bigger than concern about religious liberty. And how do I know it's this bad? From the End of the World file, pedophiles are receiving sentences of less than a year in prison after convictions that include the rape of children. This is happening in the state of California, but the story was broken after an investigative report from the Daily Mail in England because American reporters are too busy, I don't know, defiling one another in bathhouses and bathrooms at gay bar. I don't know where the reporters are in America. But the Daily Mail has uncovered the shocking history going back several years that prosecutors in California say these figures are terrifying and shameful. That raping a child lands you in prison for less than a year in the state of California. How could that be? I was on the road the other day and I heard a radio reporter ask, why? How could this be? What could be in the mind of a prosecutor who seeks to get a... How could this be? This radio host kept asking the question. And you could tell that he actually knows why, but he's afraid to say it. Everyone's afraid to state the obvious reason that governing officials and prosecutors want to be soft on child molesters. The obvious reason is that they're child molesters too. And they actually want to legalize it eventually because they're doing it. They're participating in it. Whether virtually through child pornography or actually. The governing officials who rule us and run the justice system are child molesters and sex perverts. That's why. But nobody can say that. And you could hear it in the guy's voice on the radio driving around that he actually knows why. He just can't say it. Well, I can say it. I know why. It's because they're doing it. They're guilty of it. That's why they want to legalize it. And they need to be stopped. And they need to be arrested. They need to be prosecuted. And they need to be punished accordingly. I don't care if they're in the government. I don't care if they wear a black robe. I don't care if they went to college and got a 4-year degree or a 7-year degree or whatever it takes to become a lawyer. I'm not that impressed. In fact, not properly punishing those who rape children, in my opinion, should land you in on the other side of the bench. You should be prosecuted. We should all agree that anyone who hurts children upon conviction must be put to death. Painfully, quickly, painfully, publicly. But that's not what's happening. In fact, if we go up to Ontario in Canada, a report came out last week in the Post-Millennial. 22 of 23 people arrested in a child sex abuse investigation. 22 of 23 have been released on bail. Wow. So they've been caught either in possession of child pornography, producing child pornography. In 10 of these cases, children had to be taken out of harm's way because of these criminal perverts. Actual children had to be removed from actual places to get them away from the people who were raping them. 22 of the 23 are out on bail. The Toronto Police Association released a statement slamming the justice system for allowing nearly all of the offenders that they had captured back out onto the streets. Folks, the reason the sexualization of children is on the rise is because we have somehow decided to tolerate it. I was not involved in that decision. But somewhere along the line in the last 20 years, we decided that we were going to tolerate the raping and molestation of children. And so once you do that, once you let that genie out of the bottle, that's the end of the world. That is the end of civilization. It will end in bloodshed, warfare, darkness, hellfire, and damnation for 1,000 years if we don't stop it. Child molesters must be given the death penalty, or we all agree that we're just going to inflict it slowly but surely on ourselves and everyone else, including our own children. That's who's going to get the death and the pain and the suffering. It's going to be us, you and me and our children. So if we agree to that, then we can agree to allow the child molesters out on the street. Is that what you want to agree to? The slow murder-suicide of you and me and everyone else? I protest. I will not agree to that. I would rather kill the rapist and preserve civilization and myself and my wife and my children and every and you. You who disagree with me, who think we should go soft on the child molesters, I want to save you from yourself because you're criminally insane. Really, child molesters? I thought there was a place we could draw the line. If not, then things are very serious. If we can't agree on that, things are very serious. All right. So now let's go to the Kanye West controversy. Apparently, Kanye West went on the Alex Jones show. Oddly enough, I didn't catch the interview. I don't listen to Alex Jones and I don't listen to Kanye West, so I'm sorry I'm in the dark on this. I can only go on what was reported. On Alex Jones' show, apparently Kanye West said, "I like Hitler." Okay, that's a difficult quote. He appeared on the Alex Jones show wearing a black mask pulled over his head, obscuring his entire face. And at some point in the interview, he said, quote, "We got to stop dissing the Nazis all the time," unquote. Okay, I didn't hear the whole interview. Perhaps that's wrenched horribly out of context. I'm not sure how you would do that. Alex Jones defended the interview as an exercise in free speech. Okay. So I read some other Christian authors' take on this interview, and they said, well, what West is trying to do is actually genius. And we need to step back and allow him to operate. He's a brilliant marketer and whatever. And somehow the implication really is that what West was trying to say was that God can forgive anyone for any sin, no matter how bad it is. And... okay, I don't disagree with that. God can forgive any sin. Okay. Now, an unrepentant mass murderer who commits suicide in a bunker before he gets captured, I don't think God can forgive that. And I don't think God did forgive that. And I think that we need to be dissing the Nazis all the time. Kanye. Yay. And I don't know the context of Kanye's statement, "I like Hitler." But me personally, I don't like Hitler. Hitler is roasting in hell, and Hitler is the ultimate example of evil and how far evil can go, even in the hands of evil power in the hands of just one man can bring the world to the edge of utter destruction, and did. So anyway, that's my opinion of Hitler. And I diss Hitler all the time and the Nazis all the time. And so I wonder... So first of all, this shows me, it just confirms for me that Alex Jones and Kanye West are idiots and we shouldn't listen to anything they have to say. So I have people, they've been asking me, I think I've talked about this on the show, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but they say, boy, Alex Jones turned out to be right about a lot of stuff. And I'm like, no, he turned out to be right about almost nothing. Just like the one thing that, the globalist communists want to conquer the world and destroy freedom and God and all. Yes, he was right about that. But wasn't that fairly obvious to all of us? Anyway. So I wonder what's up with Kanye. I believe his conversion to Christianity is genuine. But, you know, that's a pretty low bar. In my mind. I know it's difficult. Most of the world cannot bring themselves to humble themselves and ask Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and believe that because he shed his blood for us and rose from the dead, that he can actually save us. To me, that's just a relatively low bar. I know. It's for the rest of the world, I know it's difficult. But for those of us who've done it, that's like, now you're just barely in. You're now welcome into the family of man. That's all. We can call you a civilized person because you've humbled yourself before Jesus Christ. But that's a relatively low bar. And I think the thing is, with Kanye West, is that he has actually negatively impacted at least as many people as Hitler did. At least as many. Kanye West, in his life before he converted, his life negatively impacted and quite possibly killed and destroyed as many people as Hitler. Only because the population's a lot bigger right now. And the corrosive nature of the hip-hop lifestyle that Kanye West promoted and profited from got a lot of people killed. A lot of people. Maybe more than Hitler. And so I think Hitler was responsible for the directly responsible for the death of 20 million people. And what Kanye West participated in the hip-hop culture could easily be responsible for that many deaths or more. Probably more. And so maybe Kanye has a guilt complex. And so he's thinking, look, if God can forgive me, then surely God could even forgive Hitler. But, you know, Kanye, the thing is you're repentant. Hitler wasn't. Ever. And neither were the Nazi minions around him. They never were repentant. And that's why we diss them all the time, Kanye. So anyway, if you're looking for advice on how to do just about anything, don't look to Kanye West or Alex Jones, who both might be Christians, okay? I'm not going to say they're not Christians, but I mean, please. If you're looking to them for some sort of advice on how to live, I feel sorry for you. That's all. Sure. Anyway, and so Alex Jones now has filed for bankruptcy because the courts have put him out of business because he went so far with so much crazy stuff that he just went too far, and a jury decided we want to take you out. And so they forget, like $1 billion they demanded that he pay, which that'll never stand up. I'm sure he'll get that overturned. But the bottom line is people just said, we don't want to hear from you anymore. And so I'm all for free speech. We all have the right to speak. Alex Jones has the right to speak. Kanye West has the right to speak. But if you exercise your right and you speak crazy things and you interview mentally unstable, relatively dim-witted, untalented, terminal adolescents who are still waking up from a drug-induced stupor, and then you put them on the air as if they're smart, it's quite possible you're going to go bankrupt eventually. You might eventually lose so much credibility, Mr. Jones, that you're going to go broke. And you're not even going to be able to hawk your vitamins or whatever it is you do to pay your bills. That's all. That's called the free market and free speech. And the free market and free speech must be informed by the fear of God. And a lot of times, even we Christians don't properly exercise the proper fear of God. And we say stupid things. And for that, we should be rebuked and even put out of business. And that's what's happened to Alex. And you see in an interview with Kanye West why. It's because he's a moron. That's why. Okay. And if you're offended by that, well, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. If you're offended, turn off the show and don't listen anymore. Go listen to Alex Jones. Go buy some Kanye West records. All right. So from there, we go to the murder-suicide file. And this is an actual murder-suicide. Bernalillo County, New Mexico. Eric Pinkerton murdered his wife, Municipal Judge Diane Albert, and then killed himself, along with several animals in the house. Why do I report on this? Because this, these days, is as common for a couple in the news as hearing about an anniversary dinner that they went out and celebrated. One couple went out and celebrated their 40th anniversary. Another couple, murder-suicide, killed all the animals. It's just life in America these days, you know. That's how things go. That's how things go and how they have been going, and that's how they will continue to go. As we plunge ever more frantically into the inevitable murder-suicide that's occurring all around us all the time. As we step further and further away from godliness and righteousness and respect for and recognition of the creator, this is where we're going. It's where this judge and her husband ended up on their 40th anniversary. Instead of going to dinner, he shot her, he shot all the dogs and the cats, and then he shot himself. And that's just life in America. Meanwhile, up in Chicago, this is from the threat to the public file. Out in Buffalo Grove, outside of Chicago, 11 o'clock in the morning, officers discover five people deceased in a really nice house. Two of them were children. Three of them were adults. This happened middle of last week. And I, since I do a show, I wanted to find out exactly what happened. So I checked on the story later, and it turns out nobody cares what happened. Because there's been piles and piles of bodies in the Chicago area and elsewhere since then. And so we don't have time to find out why it was that two children and three adults, apparently a murder-suicide. But there's just no time to go and find out all the details. Because the bodies are piling up too quickly. And so the police just, they left it at, well, it looks like it was a domestic-related incident. And as far as we know, there's no threat to the public. Which I disagree with. I think there is an acute threat to everyone. And it is expressed daily in the torrent of bloodshed, murder, and suicide that's happening all around us. And I just want to not become numb to it. That's all. And so I have to look at it, and I have to read about it, and I have to pray, and I have to say, God, let me feel some emotion about this. Because there was a time for all of us when something like this would have shocked and terrified us and stopped us in our tracks, and we would have wept. We would have got down on our knees and said, God, help us. And so I just don't want to lose touch with that. And so I want to ask right now, God, help us. God, help us. Look at this. Look what's happening in Chicago. Thousands and thousands of people shot. Hundreds and hundreds of people dead. Blood in the streets. Murder and suicide. Children being killed. So many of them that we don't even have time to keep track of it all. God help us. God help us. And so one of the ways God can help us is by reminding us who God is. And so I want to end with this story from out of Alaska, where the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, is trying to put the kibosh on a mine down there. Because they say the mine where they were going to mine copper and molybdenum, it's going to threaten the salmon. And so the EPA is stepping in, despite the fact that the U.S. the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers did all the required environmental studies. They approved the mine. They said it's going to be okay. Now the EPA steps in, and as if they're God, they say, no, the mine's, no, we're going to side with the fish against the mine. And so the CEO of the Pebble Limited Partnership releases a statement, and he says, EPA is taking significant tax royalties from the citizens of Alaska. And anyway, I just want to say to this guy, don't address federal agencies by their initials only as if they're God. They're mostly just dim-witted people who managed to pass the civil service test after they failed out a legitimate free market economy. Their opinions are not the opinions of God. They're the opinions of mediocre to below average performers. So don't refer to them as FDA or IRS or EPA as if they're G-O-D. They're not. And you listen, folks, you'll hear this. These agencies address themselves as FDA, and I just hate it, and I'm sick of it. That's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Ooh, man, I'm hungry.